Like, I think they introduced that new barbarian by them, like, suplexing a pterodactyl into, like, a hoity-toity sandwich party. Like, sandwich picnic.
Nice.
Well-met adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
This week, we have campaign stories again.
They're back.
They're back. I'm excited. Have we done one yet this year?
No, I don't think we have.
Well, we have Ed with us, a.k.a. GothSalts on Twitter. Hello.
Hey, I'm GothSalts on Twitter. And my name is Edward. That's the name my parents have given me. It's my grandpa's name. It's pretty cool, I think.
It's a good name. I like it.
I think it means like fortune in the old English. I don't feel fortune. Really? Rich. Yeah, so Edward is like Edward or whatever, and it's like fortune guard. My family got really into genealogy. It's real fun.
My name means like flowery meadow or something.
Nice. My last name means Grove Castle. And it's kind of a poetic term that my great-great-grandpa just kind of made up because everyone had to pick a last name and he was not going to be Pedersen. So, yeah. I'd be like one of the million Pedersens in like the Midwest. Thank God, J.P. Lundborg.
That's awesome. That's a good name. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have just been like John Lundborg Pedersen, but he swapped him around.
I like it.
Yeah. First Swede was like, no, I'm not going to do that to the rest of my descendants. No way.
My kin will be better for this.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Maybe they'll learn some creativity. I don't know.
And here we are. Look at us, mm-hmm. as creatives.
Just talking.
Exactly. I'm here for it.
Those who can't do, talk. So. I've gotten a lot of compliments on my DMing, so I guess I can do.
Hey, there you go.
Still That's trying great. To get paid for mm-hmm. it, but not a big market in Minneapolis.
I mean,
yeah.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a small market everywhere.
Right. If we could just make money.
Yeah,
not in the Or if we didn't have the concept of money.
Or if money weren't a requirement to survive, then it'd just be fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
If all of our basic necessities were covered before, you know, money came into play, that'd be great.
Right.
Speaking of which, I have a hospital thing tomorrow. That's going to be fun to see the bill in a month that's way higher than I expected.
It's always great when you leave and you're like, that wasn't bad. And then a month later, you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, like what? Mm-hmm. I was told this was $200. Why am I getting two separate bills for $200? And they're for very different things. Oh, crap. I knew I shouldn't have had that cardiogram. It was like 2 minutes and it cost $200.
Thanks, health system.
Yeehaw.
Appreciate you.
Oh, they sent the blood work to a lab that isn't in my network that I didn't ask about because I didn't think to ask about it. Yeah, you already know who I voted for last Tuesday. Well, it's a 50-50 shot, so you got a pretty good chance.
That's fair. So, campaign stories. All right. So you said that you have a particular campaign that you ran for a period of time that you would like to talk about. What system and setting were you using for that campaign?
So it was a homebrew game in 5th edition that I started with a few friends. That one lasted 2.5 years, and it was fun for a long time. Then we kind of got exhausted with it. People started moving, getting new jobs, but it was really fun just building out that world because I would just fly by the seat of my pants. I'm definitely that DM who just kind of started. I think one of the notes that I have in my notebook that I had was 30 to 50 feral hogs. And that's what I went into the session with. That was around the time that meme was alive for about 2 days. It was great.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm that kind of DM. Like, Matt Mercer is really cool because he has the time to, like, really plan stuff out. Like, he talks about, like, okay, I have these plans and this thing. But he kind of has to since he has to use Dwarven Forge and stuff. So that's something that's mm-hmm. interesting to look is like, I like being a player under different DMs, cause then I get to see how they operate. Cause some are big planners and some are just like, I have a bunch of tables that I roll on. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for a bunch of feral hogs. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I ended up just using a giant coral snake that did the trick. So it's pretty great.
I love it when you write something down in your notes and you're like, you know what? Let's do something completely different.
We'll table that for the future. Maybe they're werepigs. I don't know. I've got ideas, but I yes! haven't used them yet. Uh-huh. I've got
ever progressing.
Yeah, for like every 100 words of notes that I write in my notebook, I have about 1,000 of ideas that I have
absolutely
that don't get used.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Joe and I both nod our heads.
Yeah, yes. The Stephen King manuscripts, as it were, because the story goes he has a bunch that are just sitting in like drawers in his garage. But So as far as campaign stories, do you want to start with one that is more planar or one that's more street level?
Because
one's in the Feywild and one's at a brewery. In a big city, in a world that's flat. I was like, wouldn't it be funny?
So,
but this is the material plane. I get to do what I want. A lot of like mythologies absolutely. Use flat like worlds. So YOLO.
I have a brewery because of our past and our mm-hmm. present.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really hits home for us.
Okay. So originally we had a monk who was kind of a delinquent, like her family was all murdered. She was a noble. She's like the last one of her family in that town. She acted out a lot. So she ended up joining a monastery that's basically for delinquent kids, like Iron Palms Dojo or something like that. We never really came up with a codified name. So, Iron Palm himself is like a former pirate. Like, just because he's kind of like, you know, beating the discipline into you doesn't mean he doesn't also know how to have fun. So that dojo is also known for having a bunch of like raging alcoholics in it. So they're like, wait a minute, we found out that you're willing to help us take out like some bandits that took over this gigantic brewery that used to like hold, take care of like a third of the city. How about we go back and get there? So they're like, of course. So the party consisted of a tabaxi sorcerer, a human monk, and a tiefling rogue, just for future context. And there were three monks with them providing support. So they get to the brewery. It's about, I would say, like late afternoon. So it was daylight enough that like they're definitely not being clandestine here. So the first thing they do is they climb up to the second floor where like the inn rooms are, and they save the sex workers who are just kind of hoarded there. In the setting, they're all sex work is totally legal. So the fact that they were kind of stuck there means that they were being hoarded, not that they were being like prostituted out. In any case, they were able to take the bandits out quietly there because the rogue was really good at using Shadow Blade, because that's what the level they were. So the rogue really shined in that first section, which changes in the future. And then in the second part is taking out like the main bandits proper. So they go down the stairs and then they just decide like, oh, stealth. Stealth. So they go in and they attack I think there were like three bandit veterans, one like custom barbarian I made, and then two more characters. One was a rogue and one was a sorcerer. But they were able to take out the bandits and the barbarian pretty quickly. The barbarian was really interesting because prior to this, the party got like a bucket load of crappy kind of like experimental do-nothing potions called Poppy's Pointless Potions. And they threw one at the barbarian, and I was, as a DM, I was like, really? You know they're pointless, right? Okay. And it just turned barbarian blue according to the table I had. So you have this barbarian, yes. Like, the barbarian, he was named Blood Eye because whenever he went into a rage, he would bleed from the eyes. So it's just this blue man group the size of Arnold Schwarzenegger bleeding from the eyes with a giant axe. That's what's happening. So then they end up being able to defeat him. He had a big bounty on his head, so that was going to be some good money. But they still had to take care of the rogue and the sorcerer, who at that point revealed themselves to be changelings. Well, they didn't know what changelings were, just these gray-skinned humanoids with like really neutral features. So they fight them. This is the first time the sorcerer had ever been counterspelled. It was really fun to finally play tactically with NPCs, because by that point I was still like getting my legs. So it was great to have the rogue hide behind like beer barrels in the back, and the sorcerer also hiding, and then using catapult on the rogue, on the party's rogue. And it ultimately ended up with the party chasing, like following a blood trail after wounding the opposing rogue, running out on up on through like a skylight and onto the roof, and then getting kicked off, but not before using Hellish Rebuke, since they were a tiefling, and then they hit the ground, and then there was like cops right there. It was a really fun encounter. The cops were like, why were you there? We were taking out bandits. Then they kind of point at the Blood Eye, and they're like, oh, okay. Mercenaries and bounty hunters. All right, we can, that's totally legal. Fine. You took out an illegal operation, and two negatives makes a positive. Any case. So they ended up making a lot of money, and then that brewery became like one of their main sources of income. They get a loan out from like the richest person in the city, which was a dwarf. I think they call them the Eigolds, which I kind of went with Eigold, but in any case, I'm rambling. So that became like a fixture of the setting. So that was really fun to just kind of do there. The NPCs they met previously, they used to, as like employees and things like that. There was some drama, like, wait a minute, you gave my cousin a discount? I don't even know his name. He couldn't even be my cousin. So yeah, that was, I've started a lot of like new campaigns in that brewery after they've saved it. It's pretty fun.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and kind of going back to your tactical point, it's really a cool moment when you can go up against like your players with NPCs that have that ability to be tactical.
Oh,
like that
them.
Changes everything. Yeah. Oh, it does. Oh, yeah. It does. And then they're like, oh, right, cover's a thing.
Yeah. One thing I've learned like getting back into playing more is that like DMing isn't as scary as playing, because playing, like, you have what you have, and DMing, you can always just make up something new that seems cool and fun. And if you get the table to laugh, that protects you from like everything for a few minutes. Whereas being a
absolutely.
Player, it's like, okay, I'm out of spell slots. What do I do?
I have to survive.
DMs have unlimited spell slots. It's great.
It is. It's scary. Yeah. I am going to be transitioning into a player for like the first real time in my life.
Good luck. And play a druid.
I'm scared.
Play a druid.
Maybe I will.
Or a fighter if you want to be simple, but druid's my favorite caster.
Nice.
Or a warlock. Pact of the Chain Warlock gets pretty legit when you get some stuff in there, because I have one that's really fun to play. Their imp is invisible and they can just go anywhere in the material plane and I can still communicate with them. They have the most powerful familiar. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
No, I have thoughts.
Anyone have thoughts?
Yeah.
No, I have thoughts.
You definitely do. So how long did that campaign end up running?
Oh, yeah, about 2.5 years.
Cool.
Yeah, I think one of the players ended up coming out as trans at the time, so it's kind of a campaign of growing as adults, because I started it not long after college and I'd just gotten a new job and everything, so a lot of my friends in there were still like growing as people, so it's really kind of fun to see how we progressed and the characters progressed.
That's cool.
Really cool.
Yeah
nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to be able to do that as a group in a setting like that. And
I can only hope my vampire game lasts that long, because it's probably my best table. You ever get a table that's just has like perfect chemistry, and every session, even if nothing happens, was incredibly fun?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm at with the vampire game. We only get to meet once a month, which is a shame, but when we meet, we meet.
there's something really magical about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Elysium dance party in the last session. That was fun. just making fun of like the hoity-toity rich people on the other side of the brewing building that they were having Elysium at.
As you do.
Yeah, when it comes to beer, don't worry, because brewing and beer is my jam as well. I don't make money brewing, but I think about starting, potentially trying it at some point in the future, eventually.
We support this.
Mm-hmm.
I support this. I shouldn't speak for Joe. I'm sorry. We like beer.
Oh, yeah, so, me too.
Yeah. Oh, so you had another story for us.
Oh, yeah. The other story, that one we had a couple guest people on. It was one of those things where we had a few new players, but they didn't quite gel because, like, the first group was very drama-y, very, like, deep role play, you know, like, soap opera stuff. And then the new players were just, like, Saturday morning cartoons. Like, I think they introduced that new barbarian by them, like, suplexing a pterodactyl into, like, a hoity-toity sandwich party, like, sandwich picnic. So, like...
Nice.
It was great, but they didn't quite mesh together because, like, one person did felt like they were just had to be the parent and they didn't want to be that way. So I ended up just splitting the group into two. But before that, so the three new people, this is on top of the old trio of the sorcerer, monk, and rogue. The new people we have are a anti-patriarchal dragonborn bard, just a total jerkwad. Her name was Ariu, and her last name was Kidding Me. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with. And the barbarian was a half giant named Mala. Mala, as in the Spanish word for bad, because her like three hag parents who found her in the woods would just yell Mala at her. So that's what she thought her name was. And then we have what was his name? Adgrim, the dwarf. He was great. He was really scrawny, but I let him have magic items, so he wears plate mail, but the only reason he can is because he has gauntlets of, like, ogre strength. So if the campaign had lasted longer, I would have put him in, like, an anti-magic area. But in any case, he's a protection cleric, which is Unearthed Arcana, and they have this, they can cast Resilient Sphere on anything, so he would frequently use it on himself and just roll around. Because I did it where if he was going downhill, he would just like go 60 feet per second. So he just preferred to roll around. So there's a point where Mala, who was hired, like the hook for her joining the party was that she was hired to basically use these magical Pokeball-like things to get strange monsters and creatures for this upcoming massive Colosseum battle for like the richest dude in the plane, basically, for like the coming of age of his daughter, like a quinceañera, but like for Jeff Bezos's kid. So so they were like, wait a minute, how much? So she was told that they could get like 500 gold for getting a poof cat, otherwise known as a displacer beast. So they ended up thinking, well, the Feywild's only like 15 miles to the northeast, because the way my setting works is that if you go any direction in the cardinal points, you'll go to a different plane if you go far enough, like east far enough, Feywild, west far enough, Shadowfell, north far enough, plane of earth, south far enough, plane of fire. Anyway, so they go east, out of town, they go to the edge of the forest, the cleric's hanging out in his resilient sphere, and the barbarian's like, well, I have expertise in athletics because you let me have that since the stuff stacked, so I want to Sparta kick him into the forest. And I thought, well, this is funny, roll it. And she rolled a natural 20, so he just went at, butt over tea kettle pretty far into the woods, so they had to chase him down. They couldn't find him, but they did end up in the Feywild, and that's where they had some encounters, the main one being with Oberon's hunters and blink dogs, also known by the party as telepuppers. So, yeah, I modified the blink dogs to have like a little bit higher stats since the characters are higher level and I wanted it to be a decent fight. So they were pretty well exhausted by the time they took out these hunters who were just misty stepping all over the place and tree striding here and there, jumping up into trees like Naruto. Can I use that word? Anyway, Naruto, whatever, we can bleep it if I can't. But after all that fight, there's this point where all of a sudden the fight, like all the hunters just like stop fighting and kind of like disappear. And then they see this gigantic stag being ridden by this very resplendent Arc Fey looking person with a spear. And yeah, he introduces himself as Oberon. I roll on a table to see what his mood is. Oh, good. They probably would have died if it was anything other than spring. So at least he's in a good mood right now. They did take out one of the hunters. And the cleric was like, hey, I want to be nice and, you know, resurrect this hunter. But, like, he didn't have to because Oberon just resurrects his hunters however. So it's like weird fey rules. So, oh, by the way, the cleric had to, like, leave. He had to book it out of a cave that was, like, not too far away, but it was, like, two rounds of combat away if he was sprinting. And in that cave mm-hmm. were a bunch of displacer beasts who were being hunted by Oberon, including the Arc Fey of displacer beasts, which I decided to name a Tionter Catalayoch or something like that. And that's like catalytic converter in Welsh, because I was just looking at what cat is in other languages, and cat for like catalytic converter. So I'm like, I really like how this sounds, and no one knows what this means except Welsh people and really curious people. So yeah, so he ends up meeting her, which, like, just think of displacer beast, but like three times larger. It's great. And yes. Yeah, that was a harrowing experience where he was kind of played with like a mouse, but he ended up running out, like getting into the combat. And then he resurrected the one, and then he ended up just getting arrowed by like 20 archers. Cause the combat that you guys were in, you were only fighting like half the group. So he resurrects them, gets hit by 20 archers. He's got really good constitution, so he does survive. One of the arrows would have crit and killed him, but he did have adamantine armor, so that saved his butt. And then, yeah, I think that was the point where the party ended up splitting up. Like, that's where I decided to split the party into two different groups. So we just said that one mm-hmm. group just got lost, and the other group figured their way back out. Yeah, it was buckets of fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Now the barbarian person who plays Mala DMs kind of a real goofy game that I'm playing a goblin bard in. A noble goblin bard. It's great.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, bard warlock.
I'm all for the goblins. And bards.
Yeah, he has a... Love bards. He's currently in a fling with Guillermo, the rat man. Just think a were-rat, but it's like the most attractive Spaniard you ever thought of. It's great. Yeah, they were at the rat wedding. You come to me at my daughter's rat wedding. Oh, I love it.
Nice.
He just does this thing where it just really extracts the creativity out of people, because like people get afraid of like improv, but really just have fun. You'll come up with some great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if you don't, like, then just,
I mean, if you're having fun, you're having fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't get over catalytic converter.
Oh my gosh. Me too.
I remember giggling to myself.
I keep going right back there.
Yes, the Arc Fey catalytic converter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really a great idea, though. I had, I was a guest on a podcast, and I had a elk as like a companion for my ranger. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to name her. Like, I have no idea. So I looked up stick in different languages, and her name ended up being Pinna. So it was good. Worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
Catalytic converter, though.
Yeah. I didn't.
That's top notch.
Yeah, I didn't really it right away because I was just looking up cat, and then I was looking up like the different results you get from Google. So I guess Google also knows slang. So I'm like, why is it so long in Welsh? Well, it looks cool. And then it hit me like after I put it in my notes and stuff, and then I decided, yeah, I'm clever as hell. Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. That's gold.
No, I still dream about it sometimes. It's great.
Yes.
That's my Northwest Passage, and I found it.
I love it. Love it so much. Well, I thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk with us about your stories and all the fun and, you know, dealing with some pretty interesting groups and splitting them up. And I think that was a great idea.
Yeah.
And I have your to naming conventions, top notch.
Yeah. I appreciate being let on here. I just saw the tweet and I'm like, well, time to shoot my shot. Here we go.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Love it.
I'm going to swing at that pitch.
That's right. That's right. If people want to talk to you about your stories or find out more about what you have going on or all that awesome stuff, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at GothSalts, and you can probably find me on Reddit at GothSalts. I remember just 2 a.m, I was like, I don't like Jazz3 as a username. So I just decided, wait a minute, this is the silliest thing that I could come up with. It's a nice pun. So yes, GothSalts on Twitter. Also, right now, I'm currently looking for at least 1, maybe 2 more players for kind of a Curse of Strahd, but set in Appalachia game. It will be 5th edition. I binged Old Gods of Appalachia, the podcast. I'm going to plug that, too, because it's really good. It started like a few months ago, too, like October. But yeah, I listened to that and I'm like, okay, this is something I need to do. And I've run Curse of Strahd already, so I feel like I could do this. I've got 2 people. If you feel like you could add more to it, please send me a DM. My DMs are open. Don't slide into the DMs. Just wave and give me a hello in the DMs. Don't be creepy. Just be forthright in the DMs.
Always. Just general, like, let's not be creepy.
Over-communicate. Mm-hmm. Don't under-communicate. I took a whole professional writing class to learn that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again.
Absolutely.
This is great fun.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's great. Usually I have to, like, I don't know, get a captive audience. Like, oh, you're a waiter. I'm going to tell you all my D&D stories because you're stuck here. Oh, you work at the comic shop. That kind of thing. But yeah, it's great to just sit down and just let it rip.
Heck yeah.
I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love hearing about other people's stories and kind of getting ideas and inspiration from them. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's a good time.
Oh, yeah. And if you are struggling to come up with ideas as a DM, feel free to just rip off stuff that you enjoy. Like, there's plenty of stuff that you've probably watched that none of your table has watched, so they'll never get the reference. That's like some Matthew Colville advice right there. Just...
Or if they do, they'll just enjoy it that much more.
Yeah. Like, oh, there's that's one episode of that one cartoon that I thought no one else watched. Holy crap.
Exactly. That's right. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the way it goes.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me. It was a great time. I look forward to listening to more of these episodes as they go forward. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
I'm going to stop my audio.
Yep.
Me too. Done.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors, SoNerdWear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at SoNerdWear. So you can go to SoNerdWear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, and you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.